We move back. Praise the Lord, everyone. And I talked with Pastor a few weeks ago, and he was going out of town, asked if I would teach for the Thanksgiving service, and I started racking my brain. What do you teach in the week of Thanksgiving? Went through a lot of different ideas, pulled up a lot of different sermons, notes, and what I came to was that I was just going to teach on Thanksgiving. Pretty novel idea, right? Seemed like a good topic. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving. I love just about everything about Thanksgiving. I love that our family gets together. We get both sides. We kind of bounce back and forth. I love that we get this giant family filled into this tiny little house. And the volume is way too high, and the kids are running around breaking everything. This year, I have the privilege of hosting, so all my stuff gets broken this time. But I love having all the family together. I love eating too much food. Pastor said it's okay for this one day. So I love going in and not being judged for how much chicken I get, not being judged for how much turkey. I eat chicken. I'm not a big turkey guy. Everyone else turkey? Ham's okay. I'm chicken. I also like those little crackers that you get and you make the little sandwiches. I like those. I like all the food. I love all the traditions that go with Thanksgiving. And every family's kind of got their own traditions, but I think some of ours are the best. I love Grandma White always makes the stuffing. It's not Thanksgiving if the stuffing's not there. There will be an all-out riot and revolt if we don't have stuffing. And in fact, even if it's at my house, I won't go.
It's dressing.
Stuffing, dressing, whatever you call it, it's good. I love Grandma's stuffing. I love that we have an annual Monopoly game. All the guys get together, and this great game that tears families completely apart, we decide that we're going to play all together. And there's only been a couple fistfights that come out of this. Just a few. I love traditions. Here's a terrible tradition, one that I think needs to end very quickly. Every Thanksgiving around 8 o'clock at night, okay, we've gone through and I'm ready for a food coma. My wife decides that she's going to jump in a van with all of the aunts, the sisters, all the cousins, and they're going to leave me alone to be a single dad for the next 15 to 24 hours. And it's just the grace and mercy of God that my kids have lasted this long. It's a terrible tradition. They seem to like it. But traditions, Thanksgiving is layered. And I'm sure in a room this size with this many people that you've all got your own Thanksgiving traditions, right? No? What are some of your Thanksgiving traditions? What are things that it's not Thanksgiving unless you have...
Traditional meal?
What does that look like?
It's turkey and my mother's dressing and gravy and casserole and corn and casserole and sweet potato casserole.
Mm, all the casseroles.
Hmm.
Do you make homemade noodles, by the way?
What else? What's some other Thanksgiving traditions? What do you do? Outside of food, what are some things? Is there somewhere you go? Is there something that you do? Or is everyone just basic? Movies? Okay.
Football?
Man, if they would just let me, I'd watch football all day and eat my chicken. The dog show? Never watched the dog show. Never watched the dog show. I didn't know it was a thing, but I'm going to watch this year.
Going around the table after you eat and say, everybody has to say something nice about the one person, and we do that and edify one another.
We've done that before. Took them a long time to figure out what they were what they were thankful for and what they liked about everybody. What else? What are some other traditions? Yeah.
You fall on the floor and take a nap.
Take a nap? Absolutely. Yes.
The parade in New York, the Macy's parade.
Yeah. It's a lot of traditions that we go through.
Black Friday ads.
Black Friday ads. My kids will go through in the newspaper and they will circle all the things that they want, which means they're going to circle every single thing in the entire newspaper. A lot of traditions. This one day, you have this total emphasis on being thankful. It's a pretty cool tradition, right? Everything is about Thanksgiving. You're thankful for everything that you have, everything that you have been blessed with. You start thinking about everything that's happened over the last 12 months. If you want to think back 2 years, you can. But over the last 12 months, you start to think about everything that's happened. If you got a new job, if you had an addition to your family, if good things have happened, you start to think about all of these things. I think it's important for us to look back and to be thankful. And in fact, I would say it's biblical for us to be thankful. 1 Corinthians 16 and 34, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Psalm 30 and 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Psalm 92 and 1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High God." And in fact, it is necessary for us to have thanksgiving. We're commanded to give thanks. In fact, in Psalm 104, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." The very first thing you're supposed to do when you come into the presence of the Lord is you're to enter in with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When you enter, you're to bring thanksgiving with you. I've got to remind myself of this every once in a while, because we get so caught up in everything that's happening in our lives. At least I do. I get caught up in my own needs when things aren't going the right way, and I really need God to step in and change my circumstances. That's what my mind is on. When I have problems and I have situations that I need God to fix, that's where my focus is. Or maybe it's attitudes that I've got. You know those times, this is nobody else, maybe this is just me, but those times when I drive to church and my wife and I just had a really great argument, a great discussion where I was informed how wrong I was, and she was right. She was right. Those times when everything isn't okay and it seems like it's all falling apart, but as soon as I get out of the car, we're going to pretend like none of that just happened. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to have a big smile on my face. I'm going to shake everybody's hand. I'm going to go in and I'm going to worship. And we're going to act like none of that was there. But the whole time, my mind is on my own situation. It's on my own issues. Things that I need God to work in. And so a lot of times, I think we walk into the presence of God with a give-me mentality. You walk in with this idea that I've got so many things that I need God to work in. And once he does all of that, once he gives me the right job, and once he gives me the perfect family, and my kids start to pay attention when I tell them to, once everything falls into place, then I can worry about worship. Then I can worry about giving thanks. Then if the right song is played and everything has fallen into line, then I can do things the way that God has ordained. I can worship. I can lift my hands. I can praise. You ever walked into the presence of God and it felt like there was weight on your shoulders? You wanted to worship, right? You know that you're supposed to. I know that I should be thankful. I mean, God has done so much, but all these things in life have piled on so heavy that it feels like a physical weight. You can't lift your hands. You can't praise. You can't hardly do anything except for ask God to change what's going on in your life. We neglect Thanksgiving. And we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. I just want to preface this whole night by saying I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to anyone else, okay? I neglect Thanksgiving because I'm so focused on me, focused on my own life and my own needs and my own circumstances, that I forget that God is God alone, that He is worthy of all praise, that in spite of everything that may be going on in my life, good or bad, it does not change who God is. So we neglect our thanksgiving. I know that the Bible says that we're to cast our burdens onto Him. I know that we're supposed to lay everything at His feet. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that we should pretend like everything's okay. I'm not saying that you should walk in and just leave it all at the door. But I think we neglect our thanksgiving. I think we miss the fact that in spite of everything that's happening around us, in spite of what you're going through, He is still worthy. He's still worthy of thanks. And I think each and every one of us can look back over our life and we can find reasons to be thankful. We can find situations where God has stepped in. We can find places where God made a way. There's things we can be thankful for. Sometimes we just got to look. And if nothing else, you need to understand that there is a God that loved you so much that He robed Himself in flesh. He came down and He lived a sinless life. And He went to a cross and He bore my sin. And He died there for me. That's worth being thankful for. He didn't stop there, but He rose and He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And He made a way for me to live eternity with Him. That's something to be thankful for. We have something to give thanks for. 1 Corinthians 16 and 8, it says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name and make known His deeds among the people. Tell everybody that you can how great God has been." Don't hold it to yourself. Don't withhold the blessing that God has poured out on you, but tell everybody. Bruce, if you'll listen, Brother Bruce, Pastor Bruce, if you'll listen, I'll tell you how great God has been to me. I'll tell you all the things that He has blessed me with. I'll tell you about all the times where He kept me. I'll tell you about the situations, the messes that I got myself in, and God pulled me out of them. Let everyone know what He has done. Tell the whole world how good that He has been. We're to give thanks in all the good things that God has done. How many of you have good things that God's done in your life? He's done good things. Now, throughout the Bible, we find many people who are giving thanksgiving to God for what He had done for them. Daniel, he gave thanks when God gave him wisdom. He gave him insight and interpretation concerning the king's dreams. When God opened up his mind, when God gave him wisdom in this situation, and he showed him something that he could not do on his own, he gave thanks to God. The Samaritan leper, he gave thanks to Jesus when he was healed. We learned a little bit about this on Sunday. You have 10 that were healed, and they were all sent off to the priest. But there was one that turned around, and he gave thanks to Jesus. And that one was not like all the others. He wasn't just healed, but he was made whole. Paul, he thanked God for the work of grace that he saw in the lives of all the believers around him. And in Psalms, I don't have time to go through all of them, but it is filled with expressions of thanksgiving for the love of God, for His righteousness, and for His faithfulness. Over and over, we see people giving thanks to God for what He's done. And it's easy for us to give thanks to God for good things, right? It's easy for me to look at the blessings that I have and give God thanks. It's easy for me to look at the beautiful kids that I have and say, God, I'm so thankful when they're acting good. This beautiful wife that I've got, God, thank you so much that you have blessed me. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for a pastor that loves me, that not only is going to tell me what I need, not only is going to tell me how to make it to heaven, but he's going to tell me the hard things. He's going to tell me when I'm wrong. He's going to point me in the right direction. I'm thankful for the good things. Every time God has healed my body, God ever healed your body? Anybody? Thankful for every time where he's healed me, every time where he's kept my family. Those situations where there didn't seem to be a way out and God made a way. Every time that he broke the chains of depression in my life, those times when I didn't feel like I could get out of bed because all that weight was on me in my mind and I was so clouded and so hurt. Didn't know how things were gonna get any better. I didn't know how they were gonna change. And God came in and he began to pull chains off when he broke bondages of addiction in your life. We've got testimonies all over this room of good things that God has done. I mean, I don't know every single story in this room. I can't possibly know everything that God has done for each and every one of you, but I can tell you this, every one of you have a story. Every person in here has things that they can point to, situations that you can point to where you can say God was in it. And because he was in it, it was made better. There's reasons for us to be thankful, and it's so easy to give thanks when good things are happening. It's a lot harder to give thanks over the bad things. It's really hard to give thanks when everything's falling apart.
Right.
I find it difficult. It's hard to give thanks when your circumstances don't change. When you did everything like you felt like you could do. I prayed as hard as I could. I tried to do all the right things. I fasted. I've done everything I know to do, but situations just sometimes don't change. Things I expect God to work in, he chooses not to. Things that I want God to move in, he decides it's not time yet, or maybe it's never going to be time, and it's hard to give God thanks in those moments. Daniel, in Daniel 6 and 10, there was a decree went out. It said if you were caught praying to God or praying to anyone other than the king, you would be put in the lion's den. And knowing all of this, knowing that this was going to be a sentence of death, Daniel chose to get down on his knees and to give God thanks three times a day, just as he had done before. Daniel understood that his circumstance was not going to get better by doing this. Things were not going to change for the better. In fact, death was on the other side, but he also knew that God was worthy, that he had a reason to be thankful. And so he continued to get down on his knees and to worship God. Can I be transparent with you? Knowing that death is on the other side, I can't tell you I would have done the same thing. I don't know that I could look at that kind of a situation and still be thankful. I don't know that I could still get down on my knees knowing that the next morning I was going to be in a den full of lions. I think I can maybe take one or two of them, but not the whole den. It's a joke, Allison. It's a joke. I don't know that I could have done the same thing in that situation. It's really hard when we think about our own moments in life. We think about our own struggles, our own trials. They don't look like a lion's den, but they do look like mountains in our lives. Situations that we don't know how they're going to work out. When the door that you really want to open, it slams shut. You thought this was going to be the way. And this is how everything was going to work out. And it was going to be the perfect timing. And it gets slammed shut. It's really hard to be thankful in that moment. When your circumstances don't change, it's hard to be thankful. When there's pain involved, it's hard to be thankful. I don't know anyone in this room that says, you know what, I am hyper thankful for pain. I love it. You know, pain has a purpose. There's purpose in your pain, and it may look different for each and every one of you. But I know for me, I can look back in hindsight And I can find every moment where there was pain, every hurt, every struggle, and I can see that there was purpose. That it was God leading me. That it was God showing me something. That it was Him teaching me something. It's hard to be thankful in those moments. Ephesians 5 and 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that moment, it's hard to be thankful for all things. But I can tell you that looking back, I'm thankful for every slammed door. I'm thankful for the times where God said, no, you can't go that way. Because He kept me. Those things that I wanted so badly. Those ideas that I thought were going to be perfect and it was going to set me up and this is the way that I should go. I'm thankful God shut that door. Here's an example. 4 years ago, there was this job that I really wanted. Thought it was going to be the perfect job. I wanted to be over in this department. I had the skills. I had the qualifications. I thought everything was in line, and this posting came up, so I went and applied. I had an interview, and it went well. Got done, got down to the end, and they said, oh, it came between you and this other person, and we chose the other person. Man, it's really hard to be thankful when they say, you were close. I would almost rather them just say, yeah, you know what, you're just not a fit for this. Don't even tell me I was close. Right. They gave me a little bit of hope, and then they shut the door. I was upset. It's hard to be thankful. And I'll tell you, if it was not for people around me that helped give me a level head, it's really easy to be bitter. God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You could give me this job in a second. Why did you choose not to? But then I had a pastor who said, suck it up, Nancy. He's really good at that. God will open the right door at the right time. And so a little bit later, a few months, maybe a year, this job, opened up again, same position, same department. I walked in, had another interview. It went great. At the tail end of it, they said, okay, we're going to let you know. Be mindful. I was second the last time. They came back in and said, you know what? There was this other person. They were a little bit better fit, and so we're not going to give you that job. That was in December of 2019. About a month later, we found out everything with Easton. Found out that he had this cancer, and within 3 weeks of finding out, we were living in Memphis. And looking through everything, it was this giant whirlwind. You know, everything happened so quickly, and you know that job was the farthest thing from my mind. And after everything kind of slowed down, because you have these hyper speed moments where you can't think at all, and then you have moments where you're just sitting there and nothing you can do but think. I thought, man, what a blessing it is that I didn't get that job. There's no way that I could have gone through and learned a new job and tried to go through this whole process while dealing with all of this. But it didn't just stop there as far as learning a new job. Because of the relationships that I had built, because of the relationship I had with my boss, they worked it out to where for months I was being paid my full wages. I didn't have to take any kind of paid time off. I didn't have to do anything. And they paid me my full wages for months until I had enough to where I could start taking PTO. If I would have got that job that I really wanted, if I would have been in that place and that door would have opened up, there's no way I could have survived this whole process. We wouldn't have been able to financially handle it. But because of the blessing and favor of God, what looked like a closed slam door, what hurt in the moment, what upset me in the moment, was God's provision. And the coolest thing in all of this is almost as soon as everything died down, as soon as everything cooled off and we started getting back to a normal life, this job opened up again. And for the last year and a half, I've been working in a job that I absolutely love. And the position, I walked into this interview, they didn't ask me a single question about the job. They didn't care. They said, hey, it's been a year and a half. How's everything going? I said, it's good. You know, I had this. I said, all right, we'll let you know. I thought, this is either a really good thing or this is a very bad thing. And they ended up giving me this job, and it has been a blessing. It's been something I really enjoy, but it all happened in God's timing. Those closed doors, those hurtful moments where God stepping in and making a way. And it's easy on this side of things to look back and be thankful. But in the moment, it's really hard. It's really hard to be thankful for what God is doing, because to you, it just looks like a closed door. Darren, to you, it looks like nothing's moving forward. But what God sees is a bigger plan and a bigger picture, and he wants everything to be good in your life. He wants you to be successful, and he wants to give blessing. But God sees more than we see. Giving thanks for everything God has done, sometimes difficult. But we are required and commanded to give thanks in all things, the good and the bad. But we're not just to give thanks for things in the past. We're also required, and we should give thanks for things that are coming. Because God is not done yet. You still have life to live. God still has blessing that he wants to pour out. There are still things that God wants to do in your life. And so I am thankful for what God will do. Giving thanks through present circumstances for what God will do in the future is important. It isn't always easy to give thanks when you don't know what's going to happen. When I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be bad. I don't have a direction. It's difficult to give thanks in those moments. 1 Chronicles 16 and 35 says, "And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may then give you thanks." Psalm 142 and 7, it says, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass about me, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." God, if you do this, then I'm going to give thanks. God, if you make a way, then I'll give thanks. That's easy. But when you don't know what's going to happen, it becomes very difficult. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you, God, for everything that you can do. You hold the victory. "Now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ." We have victory. We have triumph. And so we have reason to be thankful. I'm not just gracious. I'm not just thankful for what he has done, but I'm thankful for what God is going to do in my life and what God is going to do in each and every one of us. I think the greatest mentality and the greatest example of praising God in advance is found in this story of the fiery furnace. Anyone know that story? Yeah? Yeah, me too. Daniel 3 and 16 says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, saying to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, that's the word, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." We don't even have to think about it. I don't have to carefully choose my words when I answer you about what you are going to do. If it be so, if it be his will, if God chooses to, then our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But then they make this bold statement. They look at him and said, you know what? God is able and he can deliver me out of your hand. And I understand that that fiery furnace is meant to kill us. I understand that the people who walk us up to that furnace, that it's so hot that they keel over and they die outside of it. I know what circumstances look like in front of me. And you need to understand that my God is able to deliver us from this present circumstance. That's bold. That's a bold statement. But they continue on and said, but if not. I know God is able to, but if he chooses not to, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve any other gods. We won't worship this golden image which thou hast set up. My praise and my thanks is not for anyone else. And if God chooses to make a way in my life, he is worthy of all the praise and thanks. But if he chooses not to, if God chooses to leave everything the way it is, if the right job never comes and the circumstances never change, then he's still worthy of all my praise. He's still worthy of all of my thanks. You know, on Sunday, Pastor gave me permission to be thankful for what God has done in Easton. And I'll be honest with you. Gotta be careful. I'll be honest with you. It's something I struggled with. Because at some point, people get tired of hearing the same story. I don't ever want to be the one to annoy people with how good God has been. I don't ever want it to come across as bragging. I don't ever want to annoy someone with this story. And so there are times, especially recently, where I just keep it to myself. But Pastor gave me permission to be thankful and to share this story. And I won't go through all the details. We don't have time. But if you haven't heard his whole story, I would love to share it with you. I would love to tell you every step of the way, everything that God has done. There's been so many miracles along the way. Not this great, grand miracle, but there's been so many little ones along the way where God stepped in and he changed little things and he changed a circumstance and he made a way and he opened up a door and so many little things. Time after time, God's made a way. Even just getting to St. Jude, the process of getting to this facility was a miracle in and of itself. I mean, the number one doctor in this particular type of cancer in the entire world was at St. Jude, and this happened to be a friend of a friend of a friend of Easton's pediatrician. So we found all of this out, and it almost seemed like all this popped up out of nowhere. Right? We look back at pictures, and normally you see different things inside of a picture. You start to see reflections inside of the kid's eye that start to show you that there may be a problem there. There was none of that. And it's almost as if, and I've taken it, like God just placed everything there almost in a moment. And because Andrea is a great mom, she decided to go get all this checked out. So went and we found out everything was confirmed. And this pediatrician called her and said, hey, I found all this out. We didn't even tell her because at this point we were working with surgeons and doctors. We didn't even tell her, but she happened to find out. And she felt terrible that she had not seen it, which looking back, we're like, God, there's no way you could have. I mean, there was no pictures. There was nothing that indicated this. And so she started making phone calls. And there was not supposed to be any openings. There wasn't supposed to be any way for any more kids to go in. They were full. And so everything kind of worked. And after all these phone calls, they said, okay, we'll make a spot. And within 4 days of finding all this out, we were making plans to go down and basically move everything to Memphis. And you know what? Looking at all of this, I mean, even just the finances. We went one day in Chicago, and they were looking at charging $15,000 for a day in the hospital, and it was one surgery, and we were going to have to do this every single day for the next 6 months, seemingly. We could not have financially done this. I don't know where we would be, but God opened up doors. God made a way throughout all of this. I'm so thankful. That's just the beginning of what God did in this whole process. I'm so thankful for what God did. They told us that because of the severity, because of how bad those tumors looked, on the grade scale from A to E, he was a D minus. He was right on the verge of being the worst case it could be. And they said, we just want to let you know, statistically, we're going to have to remove both of his eyes. That if statistics, that's a hard word, statistics hold true, he's not going to be able to maintain this, because if those tumors start to work their way back in that optic nerve, it's going to get to his brain and that will kill him. And so we're just going to take the eyes entirely. Looked like a lot of closed doors. Looked like a terrible circumstance. But I can tell you, it's not a surprise, many of you, you've seen him. Easton's running around here and his eyes are fine. He can play, he can run, he can jump. Everything that any other kid can do, Easton can do. Because God has performed so many miracles along the way. And I am so thankful for what God has done. I'm so thankful for the good things. I'm thankful for all the people that we got to witness to, where we got to show God's love, got to show his grace in terrible circumstances. I'm thankful for all the pain that we went through, because there was hard times. There was times where I did not know how we were going to keep going. I'm thankful for every bit of pain, because in the middle of all of it, God showed me that he is so much stronger than I am. That my pride, my young pride that thought I can hold everything together, I can hold my family together, and I can be the strong one. I can make sure that everything stays together. Quickly realized that I cannot. That I wasn't strong enough. That I didn't have the ability. But God was so much stronger. And his strength was made perfect in my weakness. Thankful for what he did. He's done so much. But Easton's miracle is not done yet. There's still a chance of them taking his eyes, they say, but statistics have gone way down. And now we're to the point where we don't have to do any more surgeries. I mean, we're taking steps forward, and they're encouraged at everything that he can do. They're shocked and amazed at how good his eyes are at this point. But like that leper, from the very beginning of all this, I knew that God was able, okay? I've grown up in this my whole life. I've seen God do miracles before. I have prayed for God to do miracles in my life. I didn't realize what I was praying. My prayer has changed. I'll be much more careful with what I say. Because, man, if you pray for God to do miracles, you better watch out. You might be the one he does a miracle in. Because of all of this, everything that happened, you know, I believed that God could do it. And we've seen miracles. I believe that all this is going to be healed at some point. I believe there's not going to be any more tumors. I believe that he's not going to have any vision problems. He's not going to have any issues. We're on our way to that. But I also believe that healing is not where God wants to stop. I believe God wants to make him whole. And until this happens, until God makes him whole and every scar is gone, every blank space where there is a tumor is gone, I'm going to keep giving him praise. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I believe he can. God can do it right now. And if God chooses to do it, I will praise him up until it happens, and I will praise him as long as I possibly can after. But let me tell you, if God chooses not to, if everything falls apart tomorrow, God has been too good to me. God has shown himself so strong in my life. He has done so much. If he never does another thing and he takes everything away tomorrow, he is still worthy of all the thanks. He's still worthy of all the praise. Here's what I think stops us a lot of times from Thanksgiving. What stifles our Thanksgiving? The first one Pastor talked about is entitlement. I think a lot of times we think because we are Christians and because we love God that bad things will not happen. We think because I do the right things, because I pay my tithes, I show up and I worship, I love God, that bad things will not happen to us. But the Bible is clear, it rains on the just and the unjust. And God is able to change your circumstance in a second, but if he does not, that doesn't make him any less worthy. That doesn't change my thankfulness. So entitlement gets in the way a lot of times that we feel like because God doesn't do it and because I'm owed it until he does, I'm going to withhold my thanks. It stifles our thanksgiving. Our circumstances, I think, stop us from giving thanks. When everything's falling apart, man, I don't want to give thanks. Stop us. Whatever your circumstance looks like, that could be a bad day, that could be a bad report from a doctor, that could be a family issue that you're going through, whatever it looks like for you, circumstances stop us from giving thanks. The last one that I think really stops us, I think hits harder than the most, is comparison. And we start looking around at everyone around us. Say, you know what? They got a new job. Why didn't I get a new job? Man, Brother Bruce, man, he's got this really nice car. Why didn't God give me a nice car? I've got to drive around this one that sounds like the muffler's falling off, and I need an oil change, Brother Darren. Got issues. Why has God blessed them so much and he hasn't blessed me? How come their house looks nicer than my house? How come their family's healthier than my family? Why does their marriage look better than my marriage? And so we start to compare everything around us. We start to look at other people and say, man, if I had what they had, then I'd be thankful. If my family looked like their family, then I would be thankful. But because it doesn't, because things aren't perfect, I don't really have anything to be thankful for. We withhold our thanks. These things get in the way of thanksgiving. But Scripture tells us that we should give thanks in all things. Not just when everything's right in your life. Not just when you have nicer things than your neighbor. Not just when everything looks good, and not just when you feel like, man, everything that I'm owed, I've got. In all things, in the good, in the bad, and everything that's to come, even when you haven't seen the results, our job, our command, our commission is to give thanks. To close tonight, let me get you all out early, right? Remember that, getting you out early. To close tonight, here's my challenge to all of us. We're walking into a season that, if yours is anything like mine, it goes so quickly. I love everything about Thanksgiving. Other than that, it goes so quick. It's like the day is over. In this season, in this day, my challenge to you is this: don't make it just be a day of Thanksgiving. Don't let it just be a season of Thanksgiving. But our life, our lifestyle, Our mentality should always be a spirit of thanksgiving. That when I wake up in the morning, my mind starts to go into every place, everything God has done. All the blessings that I have. No, everything is not perfect. No, I don't know how some things are going to turn out, but man, God has been so good. God has poured out so much. In all things, give thanks. And don't allow anything to steal your thanksgiving. Don't allow comparison. Don't allow other people. Don't allow entitlement or your circumstances to steal what God has done for you. He's worthy of it. Amen?
Amen.
He's worthy of it. I wonder tonight, we've got a few minutes, if you can stand, stand. If you can't, that's okay. But I think it would be appropriate tonight if right where you're at here for just 1 or 2 minutes, we gave God thanks. I don't know what your past looks like. I don't know what your current looks like. But I can tell you God is worthy. I know some of your stories. And God is so worthy. He's worthy of you to give him praise and to give him thanks. And so here for just a couple minutes, I wonder if you can raise your hands right where you're at. And we're going to close out in prayer. Let's just give him thanks. Let's worship him because he's worthy. Lord, we praise your name, Jesus.